And we are back, and you probably heard the tail end of what they call tuning. I'm looking at actually two fiddles in the sometimes sunny Central Florida Best at Sea Entertainment Studios. We welcome to the program, well, back into the program, the cruise director on Lone Dottie, and also I'm hoping your mic is turned on. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, let me bring you up a little bit.
All right.
We're all crowded in our studios right now. This is when I wish.
This is the coolest studio. You need to start doing tours once COVID ends. Of the studio. Yeah. You've heard of RCA Tour in Nashville?
That your mom hooked us up for that tour.
Yes,
that,
she did.
That is an amazing. If you get to Nashville, you go to the Country Music Hall of Fame, and then you go to it. Or is it the RCA Studios?
RCA Studio B, yeah.
Where Elvis recorded, what was the song he recorded that they didn't want to recut it? He did a song in the dark because he wanted, and at the end
How Great Thou Art?
He hits his head.
No, I think Are You Lonesome
Tonight. Are You Lonesome Tonight, that's right. I used to give the tours. You tell it's been a few years.
And he hits his head on the microphone at the end of the song.
Because you can still hear it.
So that's a very cool. Again, earlier I mentioned a good friend, Harry Strong, posted on Facebook. Whoever thought, I don't know if I have the right words, that such insignificant information could be fun about this show, or who would have thought miscellaneous information would be fun. Either way, the fact that Elvis hit his head on a microphone 60 years ago in Nashville doing Are You Lonesome Tonight qualifies as completely insignificant.
But anything that happens in this studio is significant, let me tell you.
Earlier, because I was on a little bit of a rant earlier about LeBron James, who said, I don't know if I'm going to take the vaccine. It's a private thing, unless I can get like $100 million from Netflix, and then I'll make a movie about it. Otherwise, mind your own. But I was on a rant, and I said, thank God that Ryan Joseph will come in later on, who's one of the nicest guys in the world, and he'll change the entire feel of the show. I did tell people the show is being pre-recorded, and I mentioned during the break, I set the clock to start the show at 10 o'clock, so I would keep giving the correct time. So right now, it is 11:38 in sunny Central Florida, and I'm ready for lunch, except for the fact that it's 9:06 in the morning, but I'm still ready for lunch. It's time for some spaghetti.
You're always ready for spaghetti,
yes,
no matter
I am.
What time of the day it
yes,
is.
Yes, I am. For those people, let me start from the top. Ryan Joseph has been with us two or three times on the on the big broadcast, the really big broadcast, the almost a broadcast, who knows? This thing has been through more changes than.
But you know what? I was a listener in the very beginning on the Tom Drake Show, and I'm still a listener now.
Yeah, you're very nice to say that. But you've
come
you're,
full circle.
He is very busy.
And the cruise director on loan. You can't forget about her. She's made me a Snood Factory fan, and I'll tell you.
You want to get a dog,
well,
don't you?
I do, but yeah. but even the masks right now, I'm sure we'll get into that. My wife and I just had a baby, but in the hospital, I wore my baby mask from
Did
the Snood Factory.
Well, that's good. Maybe that'll. Well, that's good. That's so. See, I don't know how to handle nice. It just doesn't. It's hard for me to deal with nice.
We're hitting them with a double dose of McKeesport from New York on the other end.
Yeah, that's it. There's two nice people in the small green
screen.
You're
nice
here.
Too. You're nice too.
Anyway, Ryan has spent the last, am I right, 9 years with Alan Jackson on tour?
That's
and
right.
Obviously, since the pandemic, you did
not
have.
Not since the pandemic.
Since the pandemic, you did not have. But you did have one drive-in show with Alan way back when. What was it, last summer?
Yeah, we drove out and we haven't been in since.
Yeah. But there was a show scheduled for last year at Bridgestone Arena. And it was pushed back, and then it was pushed back again, and now it's May 17th?
I believe so, yeah.
But though that is show, that I don't know if it was sold out at the time, but the people that had the tickets from last year now can go see him this year. And I mentioned earlier, because it's Carrie Underwood's birthday, and she doesn't really sing country music much anymore, except when she goes to the Grand Ole Opry, and then she covers people's tunes, but otherwise she sings football themes. I mentioned I secretly did hear one cut from the new Alan Jackson album, which is quite
it's very country.
Quite country. I mean, I listened to one cut and I'm looking at pickup trucks online right now. That's how country this sucker is. I cannot wait. I was also surfing shotguns. I figured a racket, a gun. It's pretty. I didn't hear the rest of it. I'm not supposed to hear any of it. Though. But thank God, I don't think we have big coverage in Nashville, Tennessee right now. But it'd be fun to play Well, you when you tour with Alan, you're playing country. Anyway.
It is, and it's really fun as a fiddle player to get to play the music that brought me into the genre.
Yeah, let's start with that. You grew up, you started playing the, and again, if you've heard this before, it doesn't matter. Now you're going to hear it with good audio, as opposed to when we were doing the really big broadcast through Zoom and it was crackling. And you're mute on the left, push the button on the left.
That was because of my equipment, not your equipment.
Yeah, my equipment's been muted a long time, but anyway, hello. So you started playing because of your grandfather at the age of five.
Three years old.
Three.
So at least that's what they tell me. You know, this could all be a big lie. I don't remember 3 years older.
That's actually so true. Maybe that's why.
There are pictures, though. My mother does have photographic evidence.
And that's why Disney decided now if you're 7 years or younger, you can't watch Dumbo. Because it could affect your growth, because those formative years turn you into who you are. So when you were a young child, you watched nothing but nice cartoons because you turned.
I did read Dr. Seuss. I don't think that was legal either.
No, okay. A green hand in there. So now you have a new baby, a girl. Are there a lot of female fiddlers? Alison Krauss, right?
Oh, yeah. They're actually, probably from my experience, more females than males. But she's ready to go. She has all the fiddles set up in sequential order of size. And
If you ever get to Nashville, I'll give you the address. You can see a museum of fiddles. From small all the way up. And I'm looking at two. You brought two today.
I did.
Because... Well, explain to me. They have different strings.
They actually have the same strings, but I've tuned them differently.
Oh, okay.
So as a teacher, I'm always wanting to share something new with folks, and I thought it might be interesting for them to hear a tune on tuning. Sometimes it's called dead man's tuning, but it's DDAD, and it makes the fiddle sound a little bit more like bagpipes.
Okay.
So I'll demonstrate that here.
Wouldn't put this as insignificant.
This is pretty insignificant.
Well, but I would tell you something. It's going to be a lot more interesting than this. Hold on one second here.
With today's initial guidance, it's important to note that we are focusing on activities of fully vaccinated people can resume in private settings, as their homes, under two scenarios.
This is the CDC director explaining the guidelines of what you can do now that you're vaccinated.
In this slide, these individuals are represented by solid green circles.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you can't imagine. Scenario, now, I said CDC earlier, do you want to hear when I said it, Dottie? Anybody that's ever seen a magician do the banana bandana, right? And they say, this is the Acme Magic Company. That's the same voice. She's the world's leading infectious disease doctor, but she's also the voice of the banana bandana. Any case, so I'm lost.
You want me to play for them?
Well, they look the same, but they're just tuned different.
They're exactly the same.
And that's what they said about my brother and I. My brother and I, they said, you know, you look the same, but you are tuned different. My brother is a retired police chief, 31 years in law enforcement, and I'm sitting in never mind.
It's kind of the same situation. A bunch of us were talking a few weeks ago when you play events in Nashville or you play weddings or things, and in every wedding things, it's completely different. So we have the standard thing is, yes, this one is really special and so different, only it's exactly the same.
All I know is the next time I go to an Alan Jackson concert, I'm going to wear leg guards like the goalie wears at a hockey game.
So a normal fiddle has four strings, and it's tuned G-D-A-E.
Uh-huh.
And you can say it's tuned. Now I'm getting into really insignificant information, but it's tuned in fifths, which means 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Tuned in fifths. So this one.
By the way, you two can learn all this for $40,000 a year at Belmont.
Free lesson on the Tom Drake
at
Show.
At Belmont University, you two can learn
the
this.
The cruise director and the teacher online. Here we go. All right, so this one has three notes that are D. A lot lower on that one. So So the trick to this is these strings are meant to be tuned to the notes from the first fiddle. So sometimes they go out of tune.
Oh, wow.
But but do you want me to play them for something now?
I just wonder, the first guy that designed this, did he drop dead?
I'm not quite sure. I think it's because it's on a bunch of D's.
Oh, is that what it is? What would you play on that different than you would play on the other one?
So I have this little medley of tunes and a lot of like old-time fiddle music. You know, just from the mountains and hills, Kentucky and Tennessee and everything, there were a lot of different tunings that were derived at that time. You think those people, you know, it was an oral tradition. It's not like you're talking classical music where all of this stuff was very, sequentially and specifically noted of this is how this goes. These folks just saw a piece of wood, you know, put some strings to it and went with it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we talked about this. The fact that in country and fiddling, there it's all about it's like words. Like you said, when you're a kid growing up, you learn to speak.
Yeah.
And with the fiddle, you learn to play. But then there's a language of its own that you must learn, and you kind of create your own sound.
Totally.
Without having sheet music in front of you, as opposed to someone that's playing in the Philharmonic.
Exactly.
You know, when you were tuning up like that, it's like, tonight's program is sponsored in part by...
I have one person I work for that always says, yeah, do that, even if I don't have to tune. Yeah, do that. It sounds expensive.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what do we got?
So that's I'm going to play you two tunes. One's called Midnight on the Water, and another one is called Bonaparte's Retreat, which a lot of your listeners probably will recognize Bonaparte's Retreat. The cool thing about that tune and why I want to play it for you is... Aaron Copland, who's a very famous American composer, he heard a fiddle player in Kentucky playing this tune, and he wrote the piece into his rodeo, from one of his compositions. So he made it a classical composition, but it started out as a fiddle tune in Kentucky with this tuning. So.
And just the fact that we've used the word composition in this program has taken it to a different level. We're, you know, we're using the composition.
Okay. So it's probably going to remind you a little bit of bagpipes. The first one is pretty slow. This is like early 1900s, and then Bonaparte's Retreat is late 1800s, but here we go. And you might also know that from Beef, It's What's for Dinner. They use that as the theme
I thought I recognized.
Is that what it's
for
from?
That commercial, exactly.
But, you know, we had, I will tell a quick anecdote, I guess. We were in Greenland on a small boat going to walk on a glacier.
Okay.
And I was playing your CD on my little Bose speaker like this.
Worldwide, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah, and I was playing a Shogun Farewell.
Yeah.
And I'm playing it, and our friend Tom Stauffer went, Ken Burns.
Yeah.
And I went, what? He said, the Civil War, Ken Burns. And I go, I've no. He goes, that's the song. That last tune you played, same thing. I could see a field of Confederate soldiers and U.S. soldiers getting ready to square off, yeah, and that music's playing. Or I could take it another level, and I could see the hills of West Virginia, and I could see a still with someone making Tasting the Moonshine. And then if it changed just a slight bit, Dukes of Hazzard.
But when I was playing it, I was just seeing a green screen.
Yeah,
no. I'm not sure why.
And I must tell everybody, I really must tell everybody that I am sad that we're not on social media today.
It would be fun
to be able to see that. That was pretty. Is that you playing that tonight?
Yeah. Sure.
Like any
good artist, I'm not really sure what I'm playing.
Well, no, I saw the set list and I'm not familiar with it because that's too much. First of all, it's a composition. I don't know what the compositions are. So I think that's, yeah, their eyes are going to be like silver dollars with that song. So, and I think unfortunately this time I can't wear my Confederate outfit.
No, you can't.
I don't think that's allowed. But no. Otherwise I have my little hat. I can put my little hat on. Fabulous. And that was called?
The first is Midnight on the Water, and Bonaparte's Retreat is the second.
Oh, is that when it picked up the pace?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. It sounded like Dick Clark. But it was really absolutely amazing. You ought to teach that.
Yeah, I may have. I may have a time or two.
Did you need charts when you first played those?
No. So that's kind of, and I probably said this to y'all before, but it's the difference with fiddle and violin is violin music. You know, you read a lot of that music. It's a written tradition, and it's pretty specific as to exactly the notes, the rhythms, the dynamics, you know, the meter, all of that stuff. And this stuff, this is music for me. This is music that I can screw up and nobody knows because I just make my own version.
Yeah, that's
act like I meant to do it when I really don't mean to do anything. It just kind of happens. So.
I thought your tone was off a little bit. That's
See, and you too could teach Tom.
Yeah.
You got the lingo already.
Well, and somebody told me once the difference between a fiddle and a violin is that you don't mind when you spill your beer on a fiddle. Am I correct on that one?
I think you are.
Let's work on that. The difference between a fiddle and a violin is you don't mind. I think actually the story is, my dad said the difference between a fiddle and a violin. There you go. By the way, I'm breaking Ryan's chops. That is the true story from Ryan teaching a summer camp for the fiddle, and he asked the young people the difference between a fiddle and a violin. That's and a young girl, truthfully, like Art Linkletter, kids say the darndest things, raised her hands. And my daddy said the difference between a fiddle and a violin, you don't mind if you spill your beer on the fiddle. There you go. I'll just do that line for you.
I'd appreciate that, Tom.
I'll do it.
I don't deliver my punchlines quite like Tom Drake.
Ryan is full of artists, and he truly is an artist, and they're full of anecdotes. Great anecdotes is another one. I was doing this yesterday with Michael Pettit, was on the Comic Impressionist, and I was just feeding him lines. So we could get off talking about food, as a matter of fact. Don't Rock the Jukebox, Alan Jackson's giant hit. There is a true story behind that, right? They're on the road in the old days playing honky-tonks, really, not Alan Jackson. And they're in some bar.
It was in a late-night club. And actually, if you want to hear Alan tell the story, at the beginning of his Don't Rock the Jukebox music video, he actually tells this story, and he's kind of leaning back on the jukebox, and sometimes they'll play that in our show before we start. But
you got me excited. I thought for a minute you were going to say, I'll get him to come on the show. I'm like, wow, that would be amazing. You know, I'd have to wait.
With the power of YouTube, I can do that for you right now.
I'll just clip it. But anyway, the story is.
Roger was leaning against the jukebox, and you know, I haven't told a story in so many years. I'm gonna screw up this anecdote too, probably. But Roger leaned against this jukebox, and Alan came over, and he said, "Don't drive." You know the story better than I do.
Did Alan say it on the jukebox?
No,
I think it was Roger. It was Roger. There you go. See, Alan, I really screwed this up.
He said, "Alan, don't rock the jukebox," and Alan went, wow, that's a good idea that's for a song. That's exactly it. He wrote a song, became a big hit, and being the philanthropist that he is, Alan gave
Roger a boat.
A boat. Wow. A boat. Right. And ever since then, Ryan follows Alan around just trying to see, like, don't slam the door, Alan. You know, write a hit so I can get me a truck because I'm in Nashville now. I got to get rid of that hot car. You still have that hot car that you sent?
I still do. Really? I still do. It was actually cheaper to keep it than to sell it at this point. So, and in my defense, I mean, if we're being completely honest, I'm usually pretty bad at telling stories. But today I am fresh 2 weeks a dad. And I am getting 2 hours of sleep or less in increments at night. So my brain doesn't even work as well as it usually does, which is not very well anyway. So I'm glad I have Tom to give me my punchlines.
I don't have children. I know you used to practice hours every day on the fiddle and the violin.
Oh, goodness.
Now you practice the changing the diapers.
On the diaper, yeah.
Did you learn on a baby doll first?
No.
No,
I just went right for it. The nurse and we actually have a video of the first time just to have that on memory because I made it to 35 years, y'all, without changing a diaper.
Yeah.
That has really changed.
Most everybody that's listening to this program knows the history of Ryan and Danica, but in the event that we have new listeners, his wife, Danica Ports, is a superstar singer, songwriter, a great songwriter, and now a mom. So I would imagine we're not far away from hearing mom songs, baby songs.
I would say so. We were talking last week about doing a lullaby record for her or something.
Yeah.
Because no joke, in the womb, anytime we would sing or play You Are My Sunshine, she would just completely calm down.
Wow.
And now it's the same thing. Yeah. She can be completely freaking out. And we play You Are My Sunshine, and she gets this smile on her face. It's unbelievable.
I was actually leaning more towards songs like, Lord, when do I get the epidural? Lord, when do they bring the epidural? Something like that. Not necessarily sounding like Mom's Mabel either.
Well, we're leaning on the McKee sport again. Here comes the niceness again. Goodness gracious.
Now, you and Danica didn't know the baby sex
we
before.
We didn't know.
You wanted it to be a surprise. Thank God.
I was the one that got to announce. It was probably a minute before she was born, and the doctor said, now you got one job.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to recognize what it is? I said, I pray, dear Jesus, that I do. But, yeah, that was a really cool
moment. Thank God, because I had visions of you having a reveal party with an exploding fiddle, you know. And if the fiddle explodes because you have enough of them, if this fiddle – because there was a guy in upstate New York that got killed. He was in his garage building something that would blow up and announce which sex the kid would be with, whatever side it was going to be stupid because this guy he can't wire up. Come on, just you go to Party City and you get one of those things, you yank it, and the rest is history, so to speak. Enough about Jeffrey Toobin. Anyway, so you're a dad, so it's pretty cool. So that's pretty good.
So much
good
excitement
life.
Ahead of you.
Woo,
my goodness. Are you going to teach her how to play the violin?
Yes. My hope for her, and I don't
wanna
push anything. No, my hope actually is that she plays piano first.
Oh, okay.
Because piano is such a chordal instrument. It gives you such a basis of all music. And my mother,
her grandmother can help
teach her. She actually bought us it was our housewarming / probably every holiday for the next 10 years gift, but we have a new piano at the house that
nice.
Does Danica play?
She does a little bit. But I'm hoping that we can keep the TV off because there's no good news on TV.
No, I know. I have piles of it right here. I have piles right here.
My plan is she wakes up in the morning, she listens to the Tom Drake Show, and then she goes straight to the piano and has a little dinner and learns to be potty trained quickly and goes to sleep. There you go. That's it.
You go to sleep early.
You got a lot of diapers ahead of you, young man.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's it. I set the alarm. I forgot this was on here.
Oh, my goodness. I thought the authorities were coming.
That would be later on after we leave here. We are going to get out of here because we have a busy day heading to Southwest Florida where Ryan will be performing at a community down there where they're going to love him because there are a lot of people in that community from
the Pittsburgh
area. So we'll be hearing the Pennsylvania polka.
Yeah.
And we'll find out they're all Italian going,
that's right.
What's that crap? Forget about it. Don't you know nothing from The Godfather? Come on. Eh? Where'd you get this moron country guy for? Hey, how about some for Jerry Vale? Yay. And that's the women. Anyway. Normally, we leave, we close out the show with something from the D-Day Darlings, which is very cool. But would you like to, you didn't play the other fiddle?
Yeah. Well, what do you want to hear?
I don't know. Can you?
Is it do the orange blossom thing?
No, actually, it's a slow ending. But this song would be a slow ending. But a Shogun,
you want me to do that? Sure.
Farewell. For people that watch the Civil War documentary by Ken Burns,
sure.
We're into the rebel stuff right now. So that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Oh. Ah, that's great. We want to thank Ryan Joseph. Thank you so much. Quick plug, by the way, if you live in Florida and you're interested, our talent in CBest of Sea Entertainment represents Ryan and Danica. Love to bring him down to Florida and watch him perform. He's tremendous. He's also one of the great guys because he's from Pennsylvania.
Keysport, not only Pennsylvania, yeah. But Keysport.
And remember, this show will be rebroadcast at 1 o'clock, 3:15, 5:30, 8 o'clock, and 10:30. It's also available on podcast. You don't have to go anywhere except the Best at Sea Radio website. You go right on there, and you can listen to the show again and again and again, especially that part. Ryan's part will be separated as a podcast. You don't have to go to a different page. You go up in the top. It says Podcast Central. Not pandemic podcast, and you click on that, leaves you right on the website, and you can download it, and you can listen to it all you want. And have a great day, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. John England will be with us tomorrow. We'll be talking about River Cruising, his virtual show, which is available 11 o'clock on Friday night. This guy wants me to stay up till 11 o'clock on Friday night because it's for the Philippines. He's doing a show for the Philippines. The great John England. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you. Thanks,
all of our love. He's the best. And we're going to close out the show with something from Ryan Joseph, a story about his grandfather.
Yes.
Who taught him the fiddle at the age of 5. There were some that thought that might have been child abuse back then, but it turned out to be the right thing because it's his career, and we're so happy that he was able to join us. And this is called Pappy's Knee.
I called him Pappy. He was my mama's dad. Gentle soul and a humble man. He loved God and family, his fiddle and a song. And he'd play on and on. Well, I was just a baby, but I remember well the songs he'd sing, the stories stories that he'd tell. And one day he showed me how to hold the bow. And I never did let go. He taught me every melody and every note he played. And to believe in more than I can see. Family, faith, and music made the man I am today. The most important things in life to me. I learned sitting on my pappy's knee. With his hand on top of mine, I feel like a king. As we pull the bow across the streams, family would gather round just to hear us play. Pappy's knee became my stay. And when the show was over, the fiddle set aside. Lift me off his knee and set me down on mine. He'd say, thank you, Lord, for music and this family that we love. For fiddles and for all gifts from above. He taught me every melody and every note he played. And to believe in more than I can see. Family, faith, and music made the man I am today. The most important things in life to me. I learned sitting on my pappy's knee. Pappy went to meet the Lord in 1989. He left me his fiddle. Now I'm proud to call it mine. I still play our music out here on the road. And I still feel his hand on mine each time I touch the bow. He taught me every melody and every note he played. And to believe in more than I can see. Family, faith, and music made the man I am today. The most important things in life to me. I learned sitting on my pappy's knee. I learned them sitting on my pappy's knee.